We read from God's Word for a second time this Lord's Day, connection with the fact that today is Communion Sunday. We read from John chapter 15. The text will be the first 8 verses. We will be continuing our consideration of this passage, and we shall read from verse 1 to verse 16. John 15, verse 1 to 16. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it unto you. The reason why Jesus told his disciples this allegory of the vine and the branches was because he knew that he was soon going to depart from them. He would depart from them in the way of the cross. In the way of the cross, he would make atonement for the sins of his people and accomplish all righteousness for them. By the cross, he would merit for them all spiritual blessing And after he died on the cross, he would arise from the dead, and he would ascend into heaven. And there, from his throne in the heavens, he would pour out his Spirit upon his church. The reality of the allegory of the vine and the branches takes all of this into account. It's the background. The spiritual reality of the vine and the branches will be fully realized when Christ goes to heaven. And when he becomes the fullness of our salvation, and when he returns to us by his Holy Spirit. He says in this allegory, I go away, but I will come again. The reference of that is not to his return at the end of the world, but rather the reference of that is to his return through the Spirit. When he returns by the Spirit, he comes to abide with the church. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The admonition of our text is possible only because of that wonderful reality. Christ is with us. By his Holy Spirit, we are engrafted into him. By his work of regeneration, we are made part of his body, and we have an abiding and living relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the wonderful truth that is often called the mystical union. Christ abides with us, and we abide with him. We have this morning celebrated the Lord's Supper, and we said in connection with that celebration that the Lord's Supper is the sign of the very spiritual reality of which this allegory speaks. It is a sign of our living fellowship with Christ, our communion with him. We have that communion not only when we celebrate together the Lord's Supper, but the Lord's Supper is a sign that we have continual communion with Christ. And at the end of the form for the Lord's Supper, we pray that the celebration of the Lord's Supper may tend to the increase of our daily fellowship with Christ. And that's what this allegory is about. Communion and fellowship with Christ. And I ask you, in light of this passage, do you know that reality? The living reality of the Christian religion. Fellowship with Christ. Do you know that Christ is with us? And do you live consciously your daily life out of faith in him? That's what this allegory is about. Tonight we consider this same allegory from this theme, fruitful branches for the glory of our Father. Notice, first of all, that we are that through spiritual union with Christ. Notice secondly that we have this by the constant care of our Father. And notice finally that we are fruitful branches in order that God might be glorified. This entire allegory is a familiar one. If you peruse the Old Testament, you will find it in several places. It is found in Psalm 80. It is found in Isaiah 5. It is found in Jeremiah 2. In all of those passages, the Word of God speaks of the church and her members as the vineyard, as the planting of the Lord. Our text speaks of that also. The vine is God's. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has planted the vine according to His ordained purpose. He has planted the vine in order that it might bring forth fruit to the glory of His name. And He has engrafted us, who were by nature not branches, who were wild branches, as Romans 11 teaches us in the olive tree. He has engrafted us into Christ. It is God who has established the spiritual relationship that we have with Christ by His work of regeneration. There are several ways in which that is told us again and again in this chapter, including verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. It is the Father who has chosen us. And it is by His work as the husbandman of the vine that we are united to Christ. God sent His Son into the world. He became incarnate in order that we, by God's wonderful grace, might be united to Christ. It is impossible for anyone to live the Christian life outside of Christ. And that's taught us so emphatically. This is the truth that we love and confess as Reformed believers. Outside of Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. God has planted the vine, and we are going to return to that idea, in order that the branches of the vine might be fruitful. Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus says, that ye bring forth much fruit. Not only is the vine planted by God for our salvation, and our salvation is by Christ, by His cross and by His resurrection and by His Holy Spirit, but there is a higher purpose. And that purpose is that we might be fruitful branches in the vine for the glory of our Father. There are all sorts of ideas about what is meant in this allegory by fruit. A very common idea in the evangelical world is the idea that fruit means that you go out and convert other people to Christ. Now, no doubt there is a proper sense in which it is our calling, as the Heidelberg Catechism also teaches us, we are to live a life of good works that others might be won for Christ. And we are to be a testimony in the world, in our Christian life, in order that others may witness our life of good works. But the fruit in this allegory does not refer to Christians or those who are converted through our own testimony. To bring that kind of an idea into the allegory is confusion. The fruit of which this allegory speaks is the fruit of the life of the child of God. The fruit of thankfulness. The fruit of good works. Scripture uses the terminology of the allegory in many places. So in Galatians 5, we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." And in Philippians 1 and verse 9, we read of the fruits of righteousness. The fruits that are produced in a life of righteousness. These verses indicate something about what and how we are to understand this part of the allegory. The fruits of which Christ speaks are the fruits of the Christian life of thankfulness. They're the fruits of showing forth in our lives the glorious praises of God. They are the fruits of walking in the good works which God before has ordained for us. We can bring forth those fruits in our life only by abiding in Christ. When we do not abide in Christ, then we cannot bring forth good works, the fruit of a life of thankfulness. The fruits of which Christ speaks in this allegory really involve the whole of the Christian life. They're not merely fruits that are brought forth when a person goes on a special mission in their life, or perhaps, as is so common in our day, that he gets involved in social activity, some humanitarian good in his life. But the fruits of which Jesus speaks in our text are the fruits of, shall we say, the normal Christian life, the personal Christian life. The life in which, in every part, the child of God brings forth fruits to the glory of God. We are called by God to be fruitful in Christian living. We are called to be that in our own personal life. Fruitfulness means that we forsake our sin. We confess our sin. Fruits means that we live according to the commandments of God as Jesus teaches us over and over again in this whole section. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I and my Father will come and make our abode with you. It is very common in the Christian teaching of our modern day that a person can live in a particular sin, perhaps a grievous sin in marriage, and still imagine that they are being fruitful in their life. That's contrary to the Scriptures. The man who is, the young person who is, living in fornication, or in adultery, or in other great evil in his or her life, cannot possibly be fruitful to the glory of God. To be fruitful is to be faithful in marriage. We bring forth fruits that are to the glory of God when we are godly husbands and godly wives in our Christian marriage, which is so important. God is pleased by such fruits. We bring forth fruits when we are faithful parents, when we bring forth covenant children, and we raise those children in the fear of the Lord, then we are bringing forth the fruits that our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of. When we are members of the church, we love the church, we confess together the truth of Jesus Christ that she preaches, and we live according to that truth, then we are bringing forth the fruits of which Jesus speaks. When we are full of compassion and mercy towards one another, and we show our good works in the care that we have for one another, in the mercy, in the forgiveness, in the long suffering that we show in our life as members of the communion of the saints, that's what is meant, beloved, by bringing forth fruits. When we live in our daily occupation in a way that reflects the righteousness of God and obedience to the commandments of God, then we are bringing forth fruit. Young people, are you interested in bringing forth fruit to the glory of God? When you condemn the world, you refuse to go along with its lifestyle and its philosophy because you love God's truth and His commandments are the guide of your life, and you make yourself strong in the knowledge of the truth, then you bring forth the fruits of which our Lord Jesus is speaking of. The point of our text is that is possible only when we abide in Christ. We cannot bring forth those fruits. And that's a very simple truth in a sense, but also a very profound truth. The meaning of the allegory is that the possibility of being fruitful branches is living, abiding communion with Christ, faith in Him, reliance upon Him, trust in Him and His righteousness, finding in Him all the source of our spiritual strength and all the hope of our salvation. Only then are we abiding in Christ. That's something mystical, but it's concrete. We abide in Christ. While He is in heaven and He is spiritually present with us, we abide in Him by keeping His commandments, by hearing His word, by daily praying unto Him. That's the only way it's possible to be fruitful branches. God planted the vineyard, the vine, for that purpose. And He cares for the vine for that purpose. He is the husbandman, the Father of Jesus Christ, who gave us to Jesus Christ and who engrafted us into Christ. He cares for the vine, and He does that in two ways. He cuts out the unfruitful branches. Our text is a warning to those who are unfruitful branches. These, as we said this morning, are not those who were once children of God and who fall away. That's the false teaching of Arminianism. We believe, according to the Reformed faith, that it is impossible for a child of God to fall away from the grace of God. Christ abides with us, and because He abides with us, we also abide with Him. But the unfruitful branches are those who, though they are members of the church, and they seem to participate in the activity of the church, they have no spiritual union with Christ. They are the ungodly reprobate in the church. And finally, they manifest themselves in that they are unfruitful. They don't live the Christian life. They don't forsake sin. They are ungodly husbands and ungodly wives. They are rebellious children and young people who forsake the Word of God and refuse to bring forth fruit for the glory of God. And concerning them, the allegory says that the husbandman, who is the Father, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. God knows that, and He takes away the unfruitful branch. And this is a warning of those who are in the sphere of the church, who are unfruitful. Their judgment is outlined in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. It is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Notice the process. He's one who does not abide in Christ. He's never repented. He's a person who has never truly put his or her faith in Jesus Christ. He has no spiritual relationship to Christ. He knows nothing of such a relationship. And even though he might for a time be a member of the church, he's not a branch engrafted into the vine, Jesus Christ. And it becomes manifest in his life when he doesn't show forth the fruits of repentance and faith and obedience to Christ, and that's extremely serious. He's cut off. Sometimes that happens by discipline through the church. He's cut off. He's cut off from Him who alone is the source of all salvation, and he withers. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And that's a description of hell. You know that, don't you? So those who are unfruitful branches, they are warned by our Lord. When a person is in the church and hears the word, pretends to be a member of the church and lives an ungodly life and does not bring forth the fruits, they are cut off and they are cast into hell. That's a warning to those who are ungodly in the church. God, who is the husbandman of the vine, He does that in His sovereignty. They are cut off forever unto everlasting destruction. The husbandman cares for those who are truly the branches in the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now it's interesting that the word we might expect, and if there are gardeners among us here, and there are those who have worked in an orchard particularly, where this work of pruning takes place, you might expect that the word that Jesus would use is He prunes the vine. But we must always realize that every illustration, every allegory has its limitations, and the truth is always far greater than the allegory. But here the word is accurately translated by the King James translation of the original. He purges it. That's what the Father does. Purging has to do with cleansing from sin. In order to be fruitful branches, God has to work the work of sanctification in our life. That's the purging. He has to purge us from all of our sin of pride and lust and covetousness and enmity against God. He does that through the power of His Word. At times that can be extremely painful and humiliation for us. He condemns our sin. He commands us to flee from the sin of our sinful nature whereby we are born. He calls us to forsake this ungodly world and its philosophy, its love, which according to the scriptures is nothing but the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And so there is the work of the husbandman, purging, sanctifying the members of the church who are truly part of the vine. And Jesus, or God the Father, does that in the greatness of His love, in order that the branches of the vine might bring forth more fruit. Included in the work of purging is God's chastening and trying work. That's part of God's purging work. He sends us difficult trials in our life. He does that according to His own perfect wisdom, in order that we might no longer rely on ourselves, but in order that we might rely on Christ alone. He purges away from us all selfishness and self-reliance. He purges us in such a way that our dependence is more and more on Christ. And as one commentary says it so nicely, some of the most glorious fruits are brought forth in the life of the child of God who is chastened by trials. In the 40-some years that I've been a minister, I've seen some of the most glorious work, the fruits of truly belonging to Christ in the lives of His saints, whom God, according to His own purpose and wisdom as the husbandman of the vineyard, He purged them. He took away from them all self-confidence and self-glorying and boasting in themselves in order that they might become fruitful branches. What a wonderful thing that is, and how important it is for us to understand that carefully. It is Charles Ross who makes this statement in this commentary. The reason why sometimes the most eminent saints have been most deeply tried, that the great measure of their faithfulness they acquire in the school of sanctified affliction. How true that is. Don't resist the purging work of God. God purges us as the husbandman of the vine in order that we might be fruitful branches of the vine. And that brings us to the last point of the sermon. We must be fruitful branches of the vine in order that God might be glorified. What an astounding truth it is. How much we are afflicted in our understanding of our own life, that God blesses us only for ourselves, for our own glory, and for our own advantage. How many there are among professing Christians that you listen to them just for a short while, and it's all about me. This is what I did. And they perform their good works before men in order that they might receive the praise of God. Beloved, the Father of Jesus Christ has planted the vine. He has engrafted us into the vine. united us to Jesus Christ. And by our spiritual union to Christ, we receive the fullness of salvation that He has merited for us through His death on the cross, and that He realizes in our life through His Spirit. He abides with us, and we abide with Him for this ultimate purpose, that we might bring forth fruit to the glory of God. You understand that? You understand that more than just a trite saying that we are to live our lives to the glory of God? This is a profound reality, a truth that we must embrace from this allegory. Christ, God the Father of Christ, has implanted us into Christ. He sent Christ into the world to abide with us. He exalted Christ. He poured out the Spirit of Christ into our hearts. And through His presence with us in our life, He abides with us, and we abide with Him in order that we might bring forth fruit to the glory of God the Father. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bring forth much fruit in fellowship with Christ, in abiding communion with Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, knowing His truth, living by His commandments, submitting unto His work of sanctification and chastisement in our life, that we might bring forth fruit unto His glory. May that be the desire of our heart. And as we have experienced the reality of communion with Christ this morning, also in the Lord's Supper, we have been confirmed in that truth that Christ is ours and we are His, and He lives with us and we live with Him. Our life, our hope, our strength is in Jesus Christ, in order that we might live our whole life as fruitful vine, as fruitful branches, to the glory of our God and Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee for this beautiful, simple allegory taught us by our Lord Jesus Christ, the reality of which we have celebrated this morning in participating in the Lord's Supper. We pray, O God, that in our whole life, our personal life, our life in the home, our life as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, that we may abide in Christ and He in us, and that we may be fruitful branches unto His glory. Amen.